10-minute speaker is Michelle from Santee. Yeah.
Good evening, Michelle Colick. I'd like to thank Elizabeth, my loving sponsor, for inviting me to be the 10-minute speaker. Welcome to the newcomers. I don't know if it's your first time here, but it can be your last time, no matter what time it is for you here. You know, when you have 10 minutes, it's like, holy moly, like there's so much happened. My sobriety date is 1/15 of 1990, so that's 29 years. A lot of stuff happens in 29 years. So the short story is, when I found alcohol and drugs, my life turned to technicolor. Like, that's when I started to live. Before that, I was really holding my breath. I just was getting by. I was trying to, like, just make it, you know. I come from an extremely dysfunctional family, like most people, and I suffered from a lot of abuse. And when I found alcohol and drugs, it didn't make me an alcoholic, but it sure was a heck of a relief to finally get there. I could breathe. It put a little bit between you and I could be okay. And that worked until it didn't work. I got sober when I was 26 years old. I didn't plan on getting sober. I didn't know what I had was untreated alcoholism. I was pretty sure I had an idiot for a husband. That's what I had. And that idiot for a husband was, it was recommended by a chemical dependency counselor that maybe I should get sober indefinitely if I was going to get divorced. I don't like to make any major decisions sober. I don't know about you, but that was not how I rolled. But since he suggested that, I said, okay, I'll give that a try. Because the truth was that every time I drank, I quit drinking because I was a periodic. Every time I drank, I got violently ill. And the time would come when it was a great idea again. And that feeling of excitement in my gut and how it was going to be different. And I did all the things I talked about. I tried different alcohol. I tried it eating, not eating, adding Tagamet, which is for, indigestion. And none of those things work. I put alcohol in my body. I inject it out. And, I ate my mom's fried rice one time, and I got so damn sick. I have never gone looking for fried rice. I've never tried to figure out how I could eat fried rice with or without Tagamet. Right? But alcohol did something for me that nothing else had done. And so even though I would only do it periodically, I always wanted to drink. And I think that's really important. I didn't always pick up a drink, but I always wanted that relief. So when it stopped working and he was an idiot, I came here to get divorced. And eventually I did after 6 years of sobriety. But in between that time and now, I caught alcoholism. So I'm just going to read from one of our pieces of literature because this really describes where I'm at right now and a lot of times in my sobriety. April 26th, happiness is not the point. What? Excuse me. I don't think happiness or unhappiness is the point. How do we meet the problems we face? How do we best learn from them and transmit what we have learned to others if they would receive the knowledge, as Bill sees at page 306. In my search to be happy, I changed jobs, married, divorced, took geographical cures, and ran myself into debt, financially, emotionally, and spiritually. In AA, I'm learning to grow up. Instead of demanding that people, places, and things make me happy, I ask God for self-acceptance. When a problem overwhelms me, AA's 12 steps will help me grow through the pain. The knowledge I gain can be a gift to others who suffer with the same problem. As Bill said, when pain comes, we are expected to learn from it willingly and help others to learn. When happiness comes, we accept it as a gift and thank God for it. So that describes me a lot in my sobriety. My nickname for a long time from my current sponsor who I've had for 16 years was the new idea girl. I've been everything from an Avon lady to a truck driver to a teacher to all kinds of things. I've been gay, I've been straight, I've had a husband, I've had a wife. I'm done now. I have the best husband ever. I've been bankrupt and I've been with a very, very wealthy partner. The point is I didn't drink or use through any of that. And today what I have going on is I was just diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer, triple negative breast cancer, which is, I always wanted to be special. I wanted to be unique. I wanted to be a special alcoholic. And now I get special fucking breast cancer. Sorry. And the rules and the suggestions are the same. My husband and my sponsor have gone with me to doctor's appointments. And I'm thinking of drinking or using, or the big one, why me, has not come up for me. Why not me? Really? It's just another thing. 5 years ago, when Bill was just going through breast breast cancer. His cancer. It's all breast cancer now, baby. When he was gone through his throat cancer, I think I was a 10-minute speaker here. And we got through that, and we're closer because of it. But you've given me these tools, and that it's true. You know, I wanted everything to be a 24-hour day orgasm before I got sober. Everything had to feel good, that immature, you know, childish concept that everything has to feel good. And that's just not life. That's not reality. And I watch people go out and drink if somebody dies or if something happens that they don't like. And I'm part of the no matter what club. No matter what means I don't drink or use no matter what. There is no escape plan for me. Elizabeth and I were talking when I was getting chemo the other day, and there is no door number two. Like, I got to go through this. That's a fact. You know, it's not, you know, and my mind wants to pretend that maybe I don't. You know, like, there, all these people are going to tell me it's the wrong thing. And, you know, if you're new, what we teach each other here is one day at a time to get through anything and everything. Not just the good times, but the bad times and the hard times and the insecurity and the unfamiliarness of new territory. I've never had cancer in sobriety, but I'm sure learning what it's like. And how much time do I have? I have five. Wow, I'm talking really fast. Like, I got sober like that. Wow, awesome. Sweet. So the first step tells me I'm powerless over alcohol. My life's unmanageable. For me, it's really short. My ideas don't work. The book tells me that a couple times. My ideas don't work. Number two, the God idea does. So if I believe those two facts, and for me they are facts, I'm willing to look at the rest of the steps. If I believe my ideas don't work and the God idea does, I'm willing to take a third step, which means I made this decision. And I can decide all day long to do something, and I still not do it. Still never leave the house. I'm going to apply for a job. I decided to apply for a job. I've applied for no jobs, you know? So the third step is just an exercise in my brain based on the first two facts. 4 through 9 is me actually doing the thing. Like, I'm going to take the inventory. I'm going to write down my resentments and my fears and my, oh my God, my part. Like, that's the magic in the program, by the way. To be able to find where you're at fault for your life, and it stops being them. It stops being the crazy husband. It stops being the job or the family I came from. You know, and the fifth step, being able to share honestly with another woman and not have her throw me away. And I was long time sober when I got Elizabeth as sponsor, and I can tell you, even at that time, I could not take in the love around me. It was impossible for me. Like, I was just so invested in being irreparably broken. I'm sober, but I'm irreparably broken. If you came from where I came from, see, there are little lies that we can hang on to. Today, I my nickname is Tough Girl, and today tough looks like being vulnerable and asking for help and telling the truth and saying, yes, please make a meal for me. Yes, please be at chemo with me. I couldn't do that. I couldn't have done that 16 years ago. I absolutely could not have. So 4 through 9 is taking that third step and making it reality, and it's humbling myself and making amends, and that really is an art form in itself, to be able to make amends to you and not show you how messed up you are. I'm really sorry. You're the jerk. You know, learning how to say I'm sorry and not say it that way, but say I was wrong. And what can I do differently and what can I do to make it right? 10, 11, and 12 are taking that beautiful template of the fourth step and looking at it over and over with 10 and 11. You know, right in the moment, where am I selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened? Have I caused harm? Do I need to talk to somebody else? You taught me how to look through my life for those things. The 11th step, reviewing at night. And it tells me I'm not allowed to get into morbid reflection, which is basically, oh my God, I'm the biggest piece of poo ever. And, you know, it goes back to getting out of self, being out of self. And the 12th step, I sponsor a lot of women. And this is when, you know, I have a monthly meeting and I told them all, this is not the time to decide I'm too busy for you or I don't want to bug Michelle. I need people to be reaching out to me because, you know, somebody at dinner tonight was saying, well, I don't want to talk about me with this going on, pointing at the offending girls. And Elizabeth said, no, we would love to hear because I need to get out of self. I need to not be cancer 100% of the time and treatment 100% of the time. You know, I didn't know what I'd feel like. I had my first chemo treatment on Tuesday, and Elizabeth asked me to do this a while ago, and I'm fine today. Yesterday, not so much. I slept a lot today. But it's just a process. It's just a thing. It's just right here, right now. It's not good, it's not bad, it's not right, it's not wrong, it just is. And all that's been done with sobriety. If you're new, please get a sponsor. Please work the steps. As they're directed in the book, there is an outline. It's very specific. And be of service. You can belong here if you want to. But if you don't, we can't make you belong here. We can't make you feel good enough or right enough if you don't want to be here. You know, nobody worked one step around here that kept me sober but me. You know, and that required a lot of God and happy birthday, 15 years and 34. Yes, I wrote him up there because he mentioned it, but 34 years is a big deal. Then we have 33 years, and I don't know how long. I'm really looking forward to hearing Elizabeth speak. I think I've heard you once. I actually interviewed her. That was how I had her interviewed. To be my sponsor 16 years ago, was I had several sponsees in the crowd, and I was looking behind her like, what do you think? Should we pick her? What do you think? I almost had her fill out an application. I am so grateful for you. I'm grateful that you love me exactly as I am all the time. And that even though you've gone through, and you're going to talk about it, that experience is useful to me. And this will be useful to somebody else. You know? And not that I would sign up for that, but it's the truth. Thanks.